God's word that I'd like to direct you to and bring to mind as we are nourished by God's word and strengthened by his word, a portion of the gospel lesson. Now, here in the gospel lesson, Jesus was notified of Lazarus' death. And he waited. He waited and he waited before going to Bethany. And he went to Bethany. And of course, Mary and Martha didn't really believe that Lazarus would be raised from the dead. And they were skeptical, just like a lot of the Jews were skeptical. And yet, here Jesus shows them a miracle and raises Lazarus from the dead. But things didn't stop right there as we listen to a portion of that gospel lesson. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and that, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. So far, God's word for our consideration, for our strength, for our nourishment this morning, as we remember this gospel lesson, and as we take to heart this gospel lesson. And from this gospel lesson, I want you to think about control. Control is a mighty word, isn't it? Control over money, control over life, control over everything that we do. We'd like to have that, don't we? Well, I'm going to say something to you here, and I want you to put in your memory banks, and maybe you remember. There's some that won't, though. And it was like 45 years ago, a week from tomorrow. So March 30th, 1981. Do you remember what happened on that day? You're looking with curious eyes. Not really, Pastor. It really didn't affect me. And maybe what happened on that day. President Ronald Reagan was shot on that day. And on that day, if you remember, Alexander Haig, who was the Secretary of State, stood before microphones, before the TV cameras, and he said, "I'm in control here." And he proceeded to tell about the succession to the presidency. And he said, "You know, we have the president, we have the vice president, and we have the Secretary of State. Send everybody to their constitutions," because what he said was totally wrong. But he wanted to have control. Control was an issue, and he wanted to take that control and make sure that everybody knew he had control. I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about control. Because who's in charge here? Not us. We're not in charge. As Jesus has the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. And then the Pharisees and the scribes get together into the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the ruling council of the Jews. And in order to be on this council, you had to be at least 30 years old. They had 71 men in the Sanhedrin. And they were declaring people to be wrong with Jewish law because they knew the Jewish law. And the Jewish law was very precious to them because they wanted to use that as control. I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about that word control and how it matters in our life. We see people that want to have that control over the things of life so that the other person doesn't know. Financial experts say, now to the husband and to the wife, do you know the financial angle of your life? Do you know the bills that need to be paid? Do you know where money is kept? So that if you needed it for a funeral, you knew how to get to it. Control is an issue. It's an issue just in our personal lives, but an issue in our country. We can see that people want to have control. Have control over money. Have control over people's lives. Have that utterly in control. But you know, God says, it's not us. We're not in control, even if that's our desire. You know, we talked about control in Bible class this morning. We'd like to have control. I certainly would like to have control over what's happening with my body. That I could walk and run again as I did when I was younger. But I have no control over it. And it's just like our spiritual lives. You know, we want to have control over everything that's in our spiritual lives. But God says, I got it. I got it. I got control. But you know, God, you're really not down here. You're really not living with us. You don't know exactly what's going on. So how come you want control? Well, think of it, brothers and sisters in Christ, that God created you. So God knows you. He knows everything about you. And Psalm 139, he tells you, I know when you sit down. I know when you lie down. I know everything about you. Kind of scares us, doesn't it? Because we really want control. We want to tell God what we're going to do. It's interesting that Friday when I was on Facebook preparing for this sermon, you know, Facebook brings up different kinds of things, you know. But this one was really interesting because this put me in thought. And just, I'm going to read it here. Okay, this is a quote from Dennis Rainey. I don't know if anyone's heard of him. But he says, many years ago, A.W. Trozer, who is an author, said something that has never left me. We have not rejected God. We have reduced him. We haven't torn the pages out of the Bible. We've just softened them. We've trimmed them, made them fit our comfort instead of letting them shape our character. See, that's a matter of control. That's what we've done. But you see, God fills us with his life, and he tells us that he's in control. You know, God is there, and God takes control. Like, he took control after Jesus died and was taken down off the cross. They placed him in a tomb. And on Easter morning, that stone was rolled away. Jesus rose from the dead. And it confused people. How could that happen? Because God was in control. He rose his son from the dead to show that we have everlasting life and the forgiveness of sins. Not what we do. Not what what we think. Not in what Bible passages we remember. Not in the vows that we remember we've done. But in Jesus, his son. And he said through John, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son into death, so that all who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's an amazing scripture passage. And it shows to us that we don't have control, that he has control. And he spoke to his disciples in the upper room, and he said, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me." So Jesus is telling us we don't have control. Only he does. He brings us together. He does amazing things in our lives. He closes doors. He opens up doors. He closes windows. He opens up windows. He uses us where he thinks we would be most beneficial to other people. It's all because God has control. Oh, he's not in heaven and using those little strings that one string would lift one arm and the other string would lift the other arm. No, he's not that controlling person. But he knows what we need. He knows that we need forgiveness. He knows that we need the assurance of eternal life. He knows that we need to be lifted up. He knows that we need to be encouraged and helped as we struggle in life with the challenges that are placed before us. God knows that he will be there, and he will lift us up, and he will encourage our walk of life, our walk of faith. We're not here to reduce God. We're here to praise God. We're here to lift him up and thank him for what he has done and continues to do in our lives. And this was interesting too, is that, you know, when everything is all said and done, guess who has the final word? God does. And that's our strength. And he'll be there. He guides us. He picks us up. So after confirmation class one day, the pastor was looking outside and he saw one of his students. And he went out to start a conversation with him to see if this young boy remembered any of the lessons in the Bible class. He said, "Young man, if you can tell me one thing God can do, I'll give you a big shiny apple." Well, the young boy, realizing how simple the answer was, though he thought about it for a while. And he replied, "If you can tell me one thing God cannot do, I'll give you a whole box of apples." Think about that. Think about one thing that God cannot do. He brings us all together in Christ Jesus. He knows that we struggle in our faith. He knows that we struggle each and every day, but he also knows that he will be with us. Martin Luther used the 46 Psalm. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of difficulty, in times of trouble, in times of stress. He's there. We give him thanks and praise for all of that. In Christ's holy name, amen."